Four, please.
Oh, what a shot.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Have you seen anything like that?
Four, please. Now drive it.
Scottie Scheffler wins the 88th Masters Tournament, marking his second career green jacket, and in fact, his second in the past 3 years. This victory makes him just the 18th player ever to win multiple Masters green jackets. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Four Please Now Driving, the official Masters podcast. I'm your host, Marty Smith from ESPN. Scheffler finished at 11 under par. As the old adage goes, the Masters tournament doesn't even start until the second nine on Sunday. That was certainly true this time around.
Things around here change in just a flicker. Oberg finds the water at 11.
Oh, dear. Oberg.
Results in a double bogey. Morikawa also at 11. Water again. His second double in three holes.
Carbon copy, what we just saw.
And then Homa at the 12th. Finds the vegetation above the bunker, results in a double of his own. We had four players tied, and now the margin is three.
Not what Morikawa was looking for here at 14.
Marginally better angle for Scheffler, pitching wedge.
Beautiful line to start, Andrew.
Will it use that backstop? It's going to try. It's going to get better. Scottie Scheffler spins a beauty at 14.
His stardom confirmed.
Yeah, you're about to make me cry here in Butler Cabin. no, it's a very, very special time for both of us. I can't put into words what it means to win this tournament again. I really can't put it into words what it's going to be like to be a father for the first time. So I looking forward to getting home and celebrating with Meredith. And it's been a long week here without her, but I'm just looking forward to getting home.
Now it is wonderful to be joined by my friend Smiley Kaufman, former PGA Tour winner, now a commentator for NBC Sports and the Golf Channel, and someone who knows what playing in the final round of the Masters is all about. A lot comes with it, Smiley. First, let's just discuss this mastermind, Scottie Scheffler. How do you describe what he's doing right now?
Yeah, Marty, it's robotic. What he's doing right now, it's Tiger-esque, and to me, it just feels like we've kind of entered the Scottie Scheffler era. And if you're going to go and win a major championship, you're going to have to take down Scottie Scheffler, similar to how it used to be with Tiger Woods. Just what he's been able to do in the last couple of years, he hardly has ever finished outside the top 10, is one of the best ball strikers I've ever seen. And this goes back to 2 years ago when I just started media. And I see his golf ball in the air for the first time. And I'm saying to myself, this guy's unbelievable. I watch it for nine holes. I'm thinking, how have I not been higher on this guy? And I just have been buying stock ever since. And he just continues to hit shot after shot exactly where he's looking. And a super underrated short game around the greens with his pitching and bunker game. And the putter has been the story all year. We talked about it forever and made the switch to this mallet putter. And over the last 4 weeks goes win, win, second win. And it's just really just absurd what Scottie Scheffler has been able to do.
Just when you think there's a vulnerable spot in the game, he's willing to be vulnerable enough to make the adjustment, and here he is just running away. I mean, it really does feel like it's Scottie and everybody else at this moment.
It sure does, and there's been leaderboards this year that we look at it going into Sunday as somebody who's in TV or somebody who's watching at home, and you're so excited about the opportunities on what's going to happen on 18 or a playoff. And I think of Bay Hill this year of a similar situation where Scottie Scheffler said, you know what, y'all just sit back and relax. This is going to be over before you know it. And the same thing happened today. And I think everybody was a little surprised because of all of the names and the potential for opportunity on a Sunday at Augusta with the more receptive greens this morning and the hole locations that have more funnels that that lead to more birdies and eagles. And still, Scotty just said, hey, even after this bogey at 7, I'm going to birdie 8, birdie 9, birdie 10. And before you know it, a mistake or two at Amen Corner by everybody else. And it seemed like it was over at that point.
Yeah, Colin Morikawa comes into this day very confident. He said, yeah, Scotty's the number one player in the world, but I'm not scared. I'm ready to go prove that I'm back. And he played extremely well until we got to 11. He hooks it in the water, and then it sort of unraveled for him. Same thing for Ludwig. He hit it in the water at 11 as well. And these guys that are chasing Scotty start to fade a bit while he just continues to remain steady all the way around. And he hit some shots today that were remarkable. The shot at 9 was just ridiculous.
It's demoralizing sometimes when you're going against Scotty Scheffler because he hardly makes mistakes. And you just refer to Ludwig Oberg, Colin Morikawa, the mistakes they made on the back 9, especially Amen Corner, Max Homa catching a bad break. I wouldn't call it a mistake because you hit it right where you're trying to and just got a bad kick. And, Scotty, it's just incredible. And I don't think enough credit is been given to Ted Scott as well in this because he's had a lot of success with Bubba Watson around this place, winning a couple of times and now adding to the list. And for the fourth time, Ted Scott has, earned his way to another player winning a green jacket. And it seems really difficult to take down Scotty Scheffler, but the team of those two guys, it's just a fantastic personality match. It seems that Scotty relies on Ted so much with certain things in different parts of his life and just having the belief that he is the best player in the world. And I think this has been going on for a couple of years now where Scotty finally believes everybody else and that he is number one in the world for a reason.
One thing about him that I marvel at and I think so many people respect and appreciate so much is the way that he manages all of this with such tremendous perspective for someone who's obviously so gifted but works so hard to continue to grow his craft, and he seems completely unaffected by any of it. As someone who's been around him certainly more than I have, how do you describe that perspective?
Well, I think he's an old school golfer in a new school era. We have this age of social media where you can read everything about you. Who's Scotty, whether he makes a mistake or whether it was his putting earlier this year, he could have been up late night reading everything that was said about him, but he probably has a flip phone for all we know. He's an old school guy. He relies on his faith. He relies around his team around him. And I think it's really made him the player that he is today and that he just kind of goes to work, gets his blinders up and just trusts that he's good enough and that he doesn't need to read what's said about him. And that's very rare in a time like today because you look at NFL quarterbacks, it seems like everybody's always knows what's being said about him. But Scotty Scheffler, similar to Jordan Spieth, guys that just don't have social media and just say, hey, I'm out of this. I'll talk to the press and I'll see you on the first tee.
And he refuses, it seems to me, to be someone who lets anything that happens on a golf course define him. It's what he is, not who he is. And I think that, too, is very rare. Look, man, you've lived this life. How hard is it to not let this sport that requires so much of you define every corner and crevice of your life?
Yes, and I can relate to it, definitely. I think we chase perfection, even when we're at the highest in this game, but when you're at the lowest as well. And at times, maybe Scotty has felt really low with his putting during these last couple of years at times and thinking, oh, I should have won more and chased different rabbit holes. And, I think when it comes to results, you could sometimes attach emotions to it. And I think Scotty's done such a great job of being able to turn the page quickly. And his mental game is really just being able to be creative and play shots and trust his ability. I think Scotty does that better than any player in the world right now.
I wonder, as I said earlier, he's now the 18th player ever. I think he's 27 years old to win multiple green jackets. How do you help me put that in historical perspective as someone who knows the tour and knows the pressures of the other things that come from this tournament. You're not just playing golf, man. It's extra sponsor engagements. It's more family. It's certainly more media. There's just more.
There definitely is. And, you know, when I think of Scottie Scheffler and who I said earlier, I think we're in the Scottie Scheffler era, getting his second green jacket. It's hard to rule out this guy is not going to win a Grand Slam and quickly. I just have a hard time believing this guy is not going to win a U.S. Open, a PGA Championship, and an Open Championship. And to me, he could do it all in one in the same year. I think he is the first player that you could say since Tiger Woods has actually a chance to do that.
I want to read you a few of these stats from my great friend David Gordon at ESPN Stats and Information. Thank you, DG. All right. Scottie Scheffler joins Tiger Woods as the only players with multiple Masters victories as world number one. Scottie Scheffler joins Tiger Woods as the only players to win the Players and the Masters tournament in the same year. Scottie Scheffler joins Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus as the only players with multiple victories at the Players and Masters in a career. Scottie Scheffler, 7 birdies in the final round, most par breakers in the final round by a Masters champion since Nick Faldo in 1989. Scottie Scheffler was plus 450 to win via ESPN bet, shortest odds of any major winner since Tiger Woods in the 2008 U.S. Open. Fourth youngest winner at the time of second Masters victory. Only Nicklaus, Woods, Ballesteros were younger. Second player with multiple Masters victories within the first 5 appearances, joining Horton Smith. It is insane, man.
It is insane, and he's has all the expectations like we just talked about coming into the week. Everybody was talking about Scottie Scheffler and who could beat him, and that's a ton of pressure. Mm-hmm. You know, for somebody that we feel can be a player that wins double-digit majors, and when you show up to the first one of the year with all of those expectations on the way to your shoulders, and it just didn't look like he had them at all.
And, oh, by the way, Meredith is due very soon. So he's got, also has the I'm about to be a dad in a week or two on top of him, which is also a new life perspective. Another thing I want to talk to you about is when you're in the final pairing at the Masters on Sunday, I can't imagine what those eyeballs feel like. You know what those eyeballs feel like.
I do personally. And it's you just try to cheat.
He played with Jordan Spieth in 2016 in the final pairing of the Masters, y'all.
And unfortunately, somebody was moving the hole on me when I'd hit my putts. They would move it before. So we're just going to omit the final score that day. But you're right. It's, you know, I think going into today for me, I was a first-timer. I didn't have the experience like Scottie Scheffler has had in winning. So for me, it was, you know, being a part of history in the wrong way, watching the way in which Jordan lost. But yes, it, you know, the eyeballs are on this event. It seems like the folks that watch the Masters are people from outside of golf that just watch golf once a year. So people that hear about Scottie Scheffler and are just watching him play for the first time this year, they want to see what this guy is all about. And they turned it on today and they were just like, okay, this guy just doesn't make mistakes. And I think that has to be the takeaway. And, you know, it's got to be somewhat similar to when Michael Jordan was playing back in the day, in which you knew he was going to go get 40 points and you got to find a way to go and beat him. And to me, the guys that were chasing him today just never put enough pressure on him to where it felt like this thing was ever going to be a tournament heading into the second nine.
What is the, obviously it's talent and work, but there's got to be something else. What is it that's separating him?
I think, he's got a string on his ball. It's like a good fisherman that knows exactly where he's going to put the lure in the water. He hits it right where you're supposed to all the time. I tell people all the time as an on-course commentator who follows players on the ground, I don't even have to watch where the golf ball goes. If he's got 180 yards and the pin's on the left side of the green and you got to be 10 feet right, I don't even have to watch it. The ball lands 10 feet right. And to me, that's what makes him so good. He never seems to ever short-side himself and double-cross and end up short-sided. And there was a stat I read yesterday on Live From. It was 150 to 175 yards. They were showing the leaders of all time in that statistic. And it was Tiger Woods, 28 feet. Tiger Woods in another year, 27 feet. And Tiger Woods at 28 feet in another year. And then they showed Scottie Scheffler's statistic in 2024. He's at 21 feet from the hole. I mean, this is 7 feet less in proximity. And I know we still have a full season to go, but it's uncharted territory how good he is with his irons. And then you throw in probably the most underrated pitcher of the golf ball in the game and a putter now that seems to have found somewhere near the microwave at times.
And unflappable confidence and his emotional approach to things is so steely. It's just so impressive to watch. Before I get you out of here, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about Tiger. Watching him labor his way around this week and grind through it, despite the fact that he struggled so much, it's amazing how he still doesn't just move the needle. The guy is the needle. And I wonder if you could give me some perspective on what you saw from him.
Well, I think the first 2 days, the storylines were all about the gusty conditions and the weather that all these players were facing. It felt like this Augusta National, it felt like a U.S. Open because par was such a good score for not only the first 2 days, but the first 3 days as well with how hard it was playing. And what Tiger Woods did the first 2 days was just remarkable. I mean, I know the leaders were right around 6-7 under par heading into the weekend. But for a guy who hasn't played this year besides Riviera, which he withdrew with an illness, to come out here and be at plus one and within shouting distance of the lead and just look like nothing was rusty in his game, just to me, it gives excitement to me that Tiger, and he even said it in his press conference at the beginning of the week, can I win another one was the question that was asked to him. He said, you know, if all the things go my way, I think I can pick off another one. And I don't disagree with him. I just think this golf course, the mental energy that you have, and the physical demands of walking this golf course, and we all know the challenges that is for him just getting around the course. To me, Saturday got away from him because he was missing putts and was losing momentum and was falling further and further away from the lead. And you could just see once that adrenaline of being in the hunt wore off, to me, that's when he started kind of the laboring of the physical demands of which how hurt he really was. You could really start to see it on every single time he picked up the tee when he put this ball down on the green. But is there a way in which he wins another one? I'm not ruling it out, but guess who he's going to have to go and beat?
Right, Scottie Scheffler. Yeah, after his round, I asked Tiger how he would assess the achievement, not the outcome. Remove the outcome. But how would you assess the achievement of completing four rounds in this Masters? And I think he's really proud of that. But he did say, and at that moment, Tom Kim was just on a heater early in the day. And he said, I thought I had in me to come out and do what Tom Kim is doing right now. I just didn't hit the shots.
Mm.
But what an absolute icon. And I'm so grateful for you, brother. And congratulations to Scottie Scheffler. Thank you for your time. Have an amazing evening.
Thank you.
The man, Smiley Kaufman.
Thanks for having me, brother.
I appreciate it so much.
Thanks.
The Masters Tournament never disappoints. History is always made, and the 88th edition was no different. Congratulations once again to Scottie Scheffler, now a two-time Masters champion. We're so grateful that all of you spent your week with us here on Four Please Now Driving, the official Masters podcast. It was truly a joy to bring you the tournament in this new and unique way. I'm your host, Marty Smith. This is Four Please Now Driving.